I met Zach at a Christmas party a couple months ago and just immediately liked him. You know how that happens, right? You just click. Well, one of the things that we talk about today is social comparison and how in a digital age, it's so easy to see what other people are doing, an edited version of that, and to either think good about ourselves, bad about ourselves, neutral about ourselves. So today we talk about love, self-love in that context. And some of the tricks and tips we use in order to like be our best self, both the positive and the negative impact of, you know, just being connected. How do we utilize like this information in a way that helps us rather than harms us? It's a fascinating conversation with somebody that's like 15, 20 years my junior that is absolutely at the same level of desire for me to be the best person I can be for the benefit of others.
Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast, where Dr. Crystal White and her comrades guide us to bring more wholeness, energy, and connectivity to our professions. We're ready, Crystal. Get us started.
So welcome, Zach, to the Executive Shaman.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. It is just my honor. First, can I tell people that we only have had like maybe 30 minutes of an interaction, and I just liked you right away. So. Oh,
yeah, no, I definitely think we had a great, we hit it off quite immediately.
You know, like sometimes you meet people and you're like, that is a person that is my person. And that's what happened with me and you. And I now have something in my life where when the energy feels like love, like goodness, like brightness, like I'm just going to go after it. So it's awesome for me that you said yes and that we're here today together. So can you tell us what you really do for a living?
Well, I'm an actor living in New York City. So I feel like I'm constantly doing different productions. But when people ask kind of like what I do when I'm doing that, it feels very much like I'm a storyteller and I'm helping with different directors' visions and writers to create this synergy among cast members to put up productions. And a lot of the times to supplement my life living in New York City, I'm cater waitering. So in the evenings, I'll be working at different events from being at museums to weddings, you name it. And I think that is also a form of hospitality, which I enjoy doing a lot, similar to things involving theater, where it's just figuring out what that human connection is, and especially being in a city like New York where there's a lot of tunnel vision and people are grinding and not necessarily taking in all of the people around them. I think theater is a very good insight into what it means to be a human.
I love that answer. Remember when we were talking in the 30-minute conversation that we had, I asked you this pretty significant question, like what is your one word that you think that like life is about?
Yeah, I definitely think it's something along the lines of connection.
Connection.
And connecting with another human.
Yeah, I love that. My word would actually be love for 2019, clearly, because I wrote a book about why we love the way that we love. And, you know, in this, I didn't say this at this time to you, but the one word that I use over and over in that book is connectivity. So when you said connect, that was like, done. I need to talk with him on the podcast. So why did you say yeah to coming to the podcast, if I can ask?
Because I think love is something, it's not a new concept, but especially in this modern age, it's evolved and the way we interact with it and engage with it, I think has definitely evolved. Whether it's things with social media and dating apps or just Facebook ways people are constantly in contact with one another, I think it's lost a bit of its authenticity. We project what we feel the world wants from us. And while looking for that validation, I think we can get lost in what we're truly need in order to be lifted up as better humans.
Yeah. And, you know, our conversation today is about self-love in a digital age. And what I want to bring back to the business profession, and especially in the lives of executives, is this soul. And you must have love in order for the soul to kind of rise to the surface, because what kind of breaks down our souls are fear or trying to appease or prove or perform for other people in a way that kind of can destroy our soul. So we're going to be talking about love in a digital age. And when I say digital age, tell me, do you have an estimation of how much you are on your electronics per day?
Probably about 3 to 4 hours. Varying whether I'm working on projects a certain week, or I know I was with family for the holidays and I didn't have reception a lot of the places we were, thankfully. So I noticed I was spending a lot more time with my family. And I think Apple recently rolled out with this new feature that tells you what your screen time is. And so that's been a bit of an eye opener into how much we really are on our phones.
Yeah, I have an app on my phone for the last year that gives me a read every day. And then just when I upgraded on my Apple phone, I was like, oh, they added it. And like one day I looked at it, I was like, there is no way I was on my phone for 9 hours. And I was constantly doing an app for like focus music for me to write certain chapters out. And so then I rationalized in my brain, I really wasn't on my screen. I was just listening to music. And there are days where it is approaching 4 or 5 hours, which is just crazy. So in that context where things are constantly wired in to the fabric of our experience, like what is self-love in that context?
I think self-love is being able to just accept yourself fully and not necessarily rely on the validation of others.
I love that. Yeah. One of the reasons why I love that, this not relying on others, is because we are, you know, connected to others. Like there's can't be a human being really without another person. Obviously, that's like how we're brought into the world. And oftentimes we use other people's reflections of us to determine our value. And so without relying on them, we can use them, but to rely on them for an indication of our worth, that's something that is a pretty easy habit. I don't know a human being that doesn't develop that habit who's a normally developing adult, you know?
No, I definitely agree. And when you're getting that validation from someone or just that support, you're also learning from them. And I think love isn't necessarily a picture that's you're just trying to get full. I think it's constantly changing levels, and sometimes you're pouring love into another person's picture and vice versa. And it's a cycle, and it's very much forming and constantly evolving. But I think at least I can only really speak to myself and what I experience with my work life and love life. But especially being an actor, I'll go into audition rooms or I'll just constantly be rejected for things. And I can't necessarily take that critically in that self-love. I can't be self-deprecating on myself. I have to very much understand that there's other opportunities and moving forward that I myself am enough. And I don't need any validation from some person behind a camera or someone behind an app. I'm able to find that within myself.
Yeah, I struggle with this, and then I absolutely don't struggle with it. And it's very random for me. Like at one point I was leading a executive team offsite, like a strategic offsite. And one of the leaders in the room like looked at me and said something like, you want everybody to like you. And I was like, no, I don't. And the person's like, oh, yes, you do. Like, why would you get that tattoo on your left wrist if you didn't want people to like you? And I loved the challenge of this because, you know, of course I didn't get the tattoo because I wanted people to like me. I really needed a symbol at that time to guide my life. However, when people like my tattoo, I like it. And he called me out on that. And I was so defensive of wanting to be liked that I was not willing in that moment to admit that I like it when I'm liked. Does that make sense?
No, it definitely, that makes sense. Because who doesn't like to be well received? And I think that's a natural human reaction to anything. And especially going back to the modern digital age, whether it's posting something on Instagram or Facebook, there is in the back of everyone's mind that element of thinking about how many likes I can get or what comments people will say and how that will alter your mood for even the rest of the week. And I know I find myself even asking friends for their approval on a picture before I'll post it, being asking if something's weird or if this makes sense, and not being able to find that self-assurance within myself and having to rely on other people is not always necessarily healthy.
Yeah. And it is. So it's always this struggle of like, am I looking for them to validate my worth, or am I looking at them to make my product better? And if you're a leader, it's always helpful to know about this balance first within yourself as a leader, because you are human. And then second, that your team struggles with this as well, because just because you don't get a role or you don't get casted or you don't get a callback on the second or third date, or for me, I have an editor right now who minces my words. Like, she's like, you're whining. Stop whining. Like, just because you get that feedback doesn't necessarily speak to your worth as an individual or even as a teammate or a leader. However, it can help you realize how you're coming across. And I think we mix up the two. I think we take information as an indication of our worthiness rather than information as an indicator of where we could improve.
Yes. And I think that's a great point. Because it is all a learning process, and there isn't one right way to do it, I don't think. And choosing what best suits you is one of the beauties of life, honestly.
Yeah. Do you think it's different for people in your age range than it is for people who are 20 years older than you for the self-love sort of stuff?
I do, only because of elements of social media. I think just in the last 100 years, we've seen a major change around the world. And just at least speaking now to friends I know, how they engage with self-love and by wanting to have this sense of identity, but making it public for other people to consume digitally, I can't say it's good or bad. It's just, it's different than anything I feel like we've seen before, for most adults. And I'm interested to see how we'll continue to evolve, especially children who are using social media in elementary schools.
Yeah. Do you have something that you do or a discipline that you practice that helps you utilize social media in a way that works for you versus, you know, doesn't work for your sense of self-love?
Yeah. I mean, I use social media as a tool, I think, to connect with people in my industry and to even catch up on certain news and what's happening. But a way I kind of use it also in a diary sense, they're called Finstas, short for like fake Instagrams. And I have about like 50 friends that follow my account versus like 1,000 that I have on my normal Instagram feed. And these are people that I actually am texting with like on a constant basis, and they can see random selfies, pictures, memes, anything that I find funny, entertaining, and kind of more candid, I would say. But even those elements are very much constructed because you are ending up to choose what you want to put out there for people to see. And I always hear this, Instagram and whatever you're posting, it's your highlight reel. It's what you want. No one's posting necessarily really upsetting or horrible things. But the Finsta allows me to have that place to go to talk to my friends in a mass gathering, being like, I'm having a shitty day, or I'm want to break up with my boyfriend, or I just got yelled at by my boss at work. And it's inverse going to Facebook, where it's become a place I feel like where it's this vacuum of multiple rants that constantly go on, and they seem very non-ending, and people just kind of like self-patting each other on the back. It's weird.
Oh, I love that. So you have two different like platforms and two different modalities or levels of authenticity that you have.
Yeah. And it's funny when certain friends find out and they'll be like almost mad that I hadn't told them about it. And I've had my fake Instagram, the Finsta, for 2 years now. And it's been a fun outlet. I don't think it's anywhere where if you have really intense problems or ways that you want to deal with things, I think therapy, going to see specialists is still needed. But it's a good little form of therapy for me. And it's nice to be able to just tell close friends where I'm at.
I like that. So because you're tuning into what actually connects you versus tuning into being connected. Does that make sense? Like you're one is you're connected, but you're just unconsciously connected. And the other is like you are feeling connected because you are revealing fuller versions of yourself to this group that you've hand-selected to be there.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't want to say I'm necessarily not connected in the other one, but there's a deeper like love I almost have for the people that I am talking to with immediately in the private, like hidden group.
Yeah. You know what? I like absolutely am in love with the people that are fucking real with me, like can just be absolutely raw and full on whoever they are. And anytime somebody's like genuinely not that, it drives me bananas. Like the person that connected you and me together, that person and I are pretty real and open. There's, of course, like, you know, there's something, our relationship's developing. So it's not like we're, you know, soulmates, although I can see that happening. It's this respect that happens when somebody is honestly, genuinely raw and willing to show up. And that's like the way that self-love in a digital age, I think, can be facilitated. The different era of 20 years ago really is like you gotta love yourself first and you have to be who you are as an individual and work on that. And, you know, being an individual is sexy. Let me just say that, like, to anybody out there.
Yes. You know,
why is it true? Tell me what you just said. Yes. So
when you just see someone that's independent, passionate, and driven with what they want to do, it's very, very appealing. You want to be there for someone to be able to help them. But then when you see someone being so self-loving and so independent, then it also shows like, oh, they'll be able to help me if I'm ever like down on a day.
Yeah. It's like the strength. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think that's very much what you look for when you're looking for partners and just anyone you want to date, and whether that person is able to lift you up and make you feel better. That's a big component, I think, with like finding out how chemistry works. Mm-hmm. And what you are ultimately looking for in that relationship.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to read the letter code, Zach, and then we can have a whole other podcast on what your letter is. And
yes, I'm very excited.
You know, on the flip side of this, though, is that you want somebody that is independent and loves themselves. And at the same time, we develop our sense of self-love through relationships. So I want to put this out there. Like, we are in a time of age that – who we are surrounded by, whether it's our lover, our boyfriend, or our coworker, our boss, that is a platform for developing self-love. And no matter if the relationship is a challenge or if the relationship is in a season where it's all hunky-dory, like that we start looking at relationships as a healing platform for how we relate to ourselves. And I hope, like, on this podcast, we talk about that, like, you know, that who we are as individuals has an impact on our relationships and on our community. So tell me one tip or idea that you have for people listening out there that are like, I want to have more self-love for who I am in a competitive work environment. What would be something that you practice regularly that could be of help to them?
I think in work environments, for seeing self-love and how I'm interacting with people, a lot of the times I like to almost see methods or tools that they use in their day-to-day life that benefit them and that they're gaining a lot of happiness and value from, whether it's working out or making this type of food or going for walks, reading a book. I'm always up for suggestions. I don't think anyone's figured out how to do life perfectly. So anytime people want to give insight into what's benefiting them, I don't want to necessarily say it's competitive because it's not like I want to be a better like gym rat than you or anything like that, or a better cook. But I think it's a learning process, and kind of going back to my idea of a pitcher and like with self-love, it's you're constantly passing this liquid around, and sometimes your vase may feel lower. Sometimes it will feel very high. And that's okay, that it's, you're not supposed to be at 100% all of your life. And by seeing how other people engage with self-love, that allows me to better understand how I need to mold my own self-love.
I love this. It just comes full circle that as a community, we need to like publish how we take care of ourselves in a way that actually can guide other people to do the same.
Yeah. And I know that is also very controversial to some people, because a lot of people think if you're just posting or sharing about how you're succeeding or by what you're doing, that that can be seen as bragging. I mean, it's all your perception and whether you want to think that that's bragging. But I think if someone wants to give advice and wants to share their struggles, that that's a good thing. And that's going back to the connection. That's the big like part of being a human, is connecting and sharing and teaching.
Yeah, we got to get this right in the next 10 years, that now we are in an age where we want more thriving connections with other human beings. And you know when somebody's talking to you about what they do to like make themselves feel better, when it's all bullshit and it's just to make themselves look better. Right? You can feel it. Like if you pay attention, you can actually feel it. And so I think it's time for us to start sharing the things in our lives that actually make us feel good, like currently, because I think sometimes, you know, we pretend like what we're doing actually makes us feel good when it's just absolutely draining the life out of us, like diets or workout routines or, you know, self-abasing, self-improvement programs that actually aren't loving yourself.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we start sharing the truth of what makes us feel good. So that's a great tip. Anything else you want to share before we wrap it up?
I don't believe so. Had a lot of fun talking. This was a great idea for a podcast. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I learned so much today. Like first, that maybe I need 2 Instagram accounts. I'm kind of new to the Instagram world. I always am like, what am I going to post today? And I just somewhat through the day, I let it naturally come up. But you gave me an idea for that. And then I also just really appreciate how connected you want to be, and you value it. So it's inspiring. So thanks for the conversation. I'm feeling much better than when we began.
Oh, thank you. It means a lot that you asked me to come and talk with you. I'm really glad that we met.
Absolutely. Gosh, it's one, something that brings me energy, takes care of myself. Okay, well, that's it for this time. If you are still with us at the end of this podcast, we thank you. And if you want to learn more or find out other podcasts, you can go to drcrystalwhite.com and you can look up the Executive Shaman Podcast and check us out there. Until then, take care. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you.